Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pub Talks, presented by Sam Sports Corner. I am your host, Sam Sloan, and joined today and hopefully for the future, Jeremy. Jeremy is a high school teacher here in the Memphis area. You guys all know me. I'm a Chicago native here in Memphis now. Mostly scumbag, part-time soldier. Pub Talks is going to be a show where we, the collective here, will talk about anything that you and your buddies will argue about in a bar. So any topic you can think that would come up in a bar, we will talk about here. So obviously, semi-drunk and completely uncovered, no PC BS here. We are going to be talking about it. So we would love your feedback, your questions, your thoughts, your notions, and your ideas on what we're going to talk about. Here for the inaugural podcast, we are going to be discussing the pussification of America, the real crybaby bullshit that's going on in the year of our Lord, 2019.
That's right.
Jeremy, do you have anything to say before we get started?
No, let's get started about crybabies. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we really do. So, obviously, today's topic, crybabies, we are going to start way off the top with the NBA Finals that just concluded with the Raptors winning. KD gets injured and tears his Achilles tendon. The Raptors erupt in cheer, and obviously the gaslighters and everybody who wants a little bit of attention says, "Oh, how could you cheer for a human being to get hurt?" And Jeremy, what are your thoughts on that off the top of your head?
Aren't you always excited when an opponent, like as a sports fan, you don't want obviously a major career-ending injury, but aren't you always excited, like, when the best player goes out, whether it be, you know, an injury, or they get caught up with a drug scandal, or they get arrested partying, like, in New York City the weekend before a game or something? Like, aren't you always pretty glad about that if something bad happens?
Oh, 100%. I mean, what I have a problem with is the folks out there just pretending like they've never thought that. We as sports fans have all thought that. You've never been in the game, whether, let's say you're a Chicago fan, and you want Aaron Rodgers to twist his ankle real quick and be out of the game because he's a game changer.
Right.
Same with KD, same with any other sports star ever. You could pick a sport, right? Except for Mike Trout. Mike Trout's a good guy for the Angels. No one wants to see him get hurt.
Philly native guy.
But everyone, no one minds it. What bothers me is all of a sudden everyone's like, "Oh, I guess Canada really isn't nice." Like, no, we all want to see it. I don't like the fakeness. Like, be honest with yourself, because my problem is when people are like, "Oh, you should never wish on another human being." Like, hey, pumpkin. Like, if you saw a fat kid fall off his bike, you'd fucking laugh.
What?
I don't want to hear it. And like, don't talk to me about, "Oh, that's a human. He's not just an athlete." Draymond Green was on that shit. And he's, "Oh, we're humans too." Like, I don't care about humans. Like, fat kid falls off a bike, you laugh.
Right. Well, I don't know if it's, I don't know if they were happy, just like they're laughing because he fell. It's not that. It goes a little bit deeper than that. But I think you bring up an interesting point about, I think that this is only news and we're only talking about this because it's Canada and they have this reputation of being nice. So it's kind of like your little religious friend down the street. When they cuss, it's a little more interesting and people are like, "Well, okay, so he's just like the rest of us."
Everyone expects it out of Boston, but when Canada all of a sudden is being dicks, everyone's like, "Oh, well, where's your maple syrup, eh?"
Yeah. Like, Philly can throw rocks at Santa Claus and snowballs at Santa Claus, but you know, Canada's supposed to be, you know, really nice.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Trudeau was just, you know, sucking dick on stage the other day. So all of a sudden they start being
what man was he meeting with? I don't know.
It doesn't matter. Pick one. Okay. I think you're right though. Everyone expects Canada to be a higher class, I guess, you know, because they have free healthcare and they're, you know, will offer you maple syrup and pie when you get into the country, I guess. So when they start cheering, it's like, "Oh, what's society doing?"
But isn't it great that it was Canada that did that right after? I want to say it was right after. You could correct me if I'm wrong. It's right after the Canadian sportscasters are talking about the American soccer team, the women's soccer team. Don't you know? Aren't they sorry about celebrating for their 13 goals or whatever they had?
And it's like, oh yeah, no, the Canadian soccer star, and I don't. To be honest, I really try not to follow Canada. They're America's hat, and I just don't appreciate them as an entire country. Bullshit artists. They talk shit and like, all right, hey, how many World War wins do you have? Yeah, I guess you have two because you like hang under our coattails as we invade Normandy.
So but we've gotten some great people. Like it's always a shame when you like a celebrity and then you find out they're from Canada. Like, I don't know why it changes anything.
Oh my god, it makes me so upset. I'm like, oh, fuck off.
Like Jim Carrey's not funny anymore. He's from Canada. And who else is from Canada? Like, okay, Celine Dion's from Canada, but makes sense.
You know what? Now that you say it, I can't remember anyone off the top of my head that I hate just so.
Justin Bieber? You wouldn't like him if he.
He was from America. Okay. Go ahead and let us know who is the celebrity you would like if they were from America.
Yeah, please comment.
We would love to hear who that's a great segment into you guys telling us what you want to hear and what you like. But speaking of Canada, talking shit on the American team, the Canadian superstar for their soccer team, which, like, all right, let's be real, like, Canadian superstar is a weird word to use.
And women's soccer.
superstar. So the FIFA Women's World Cup's going on right now. America scores 13 goals on Thailand, and BBC is pissed off, and international people everywhere are pissed off. But I really do, once again, we're back into the crybaby mentality here. They scored 13 goals. Hope Solo, who's now, right, a big American superstar, you know, sort of convicted about, you know, domestic violence. So someone talking about beating people too hard is kind of weird for her to hear something about that. But, you know, they were talking about on BBC about how terrible it was that we scored 13 goals. But Alex Morgan, U.S. star, was like, well, if we pulled up and we kind of sat on our laurels, that would be more disrespectful to the country Thailand and the team than scoring 13 goals, which Thailand, the women's players from Thailand agreed with.
All right, which one's Alex Morgan? Is that the Bull Dyke?
No. That's Alex Rapinoe.
I'm about to say, Alex is definitely a
yeah, it's Rapinoe is her name. I don't remember her first name. But Alex Morgan's the real super hot one. Brunette. I don't know how to describe her better than that. But
She's bae.
Alex Morgan is my favorite.
No, I like the one with the slick back blonde hair.
Talking about Julie Ertz?
No. The Bull Dyke is what I'm thinking of.
Are you talking about from the last one?
Wambach.
She's gone. She doesn't play anymore.
Okay.
Either way, the U.S. team, I don't know, they just played Chile, and when Carly Lloyd scored her first goal, she golf clapped for herself in celebration because the world is freaking out. And I just think it's bullshit. We live in such a loser mentality society now. Where, oh, you can't beat them too much because that might hurt their feelings. Like that coach, that high school football coach from Texas who got fired from beating his opponent 77-0.
Okay, that's ridiculous. I'm watching Friday Night Lights right now. like it's brand new. That show came out in like 2005 and I started watching it and I'm like, freaking Coach Taylor would love to beat somebody by 70 points.
Well,
because
but you know
what? Job security.
That is, but you know, and now like the current college it's not BCS anymore. It's the college playoffs.
Yeah.
That system basically forces you to run up the score.
Absolutely.
Because so it's like, hey, America's just trying to get a college playoff berth, baby. They're trying to run up the score here.
Like, I don't want to talk about soccer any more than I have to because if we're going to talk about sports, I'd rather talk about sports and not soccer. But
get along with my father. He wouldn't let me play soccer as a kid because he said, and I quote, "I wasn't a European fag."
His exact words to me,
12-year-old Sam.
All right, yeah, that's kind of harsh. But yeah, I probably would get along with your father because I don't know what I would do if my kid wants to play sports. Like, I guess you love your gay son anyway.
you try not to kick him out of the house.
Exactly. You love him in spite of his many flaws, but at the same time, like, I don't know. Like, imagine your kid wants to play like 12 years of soccer and you have to go to that many games. Like, any sport that can end in a 0-0 tie.
Well, it's just completely un-American in my mind. The ties are a garbage thing in general. That's why I'm so glad hockey got rid of ties when they did, which I understand you're not a hockey fan either.
Yeah, no.
But anything that can end in a 0-0 tie is participation trophy bullshit.
Yeah.
We have enough problems with participation trophies in our country. We don't need to walk away saying, oh, we were equal. Yeah. Like, no one is ever actually equal.
No, absolutely not. And probably that's part of why there's such an outrage about 13-0. If you're used to 0-0 ties or 1-0 wins, when you see 13, it's like, that's kind of ridiculous. But 13, if think of like a football team wins 13-0, no one's freaking out. Like, I know it's harder to score in soccer, but it's like that number isn't that high in any sport other than soccer and hockey.
Yeah, like, no, you're exactly right. I'm so sick of everyone else from the outside looking in. Okay, well, so if Thailand didn't want them to score 13 fucking goals...
Stop me. Yeah.
And that's exactly what Chile did. We only beat Chile 3-0 because their keeper, quote-unquote, their goalie...
Yeah.
Had, I think, and by the end of the game, it was 10 saves.
Yeah.
Some of those saves were absolutely ridiculous. Like, I was hoping for her to tear an ACL real quick.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, come on, Kevin Durant yourself, bitch! So, like, it's, I'm so sick of everyone gaslighting, acting like it's such a travesty that we beat up Thailand. Like,
well,
be a better
country.
Well, I think
it was the fist pumps and stuff after that they're mad about. But it's like, okay, so the other day this guy hits like a home run in baseball and he flips the bat or whatever and he like watches it.
Yeah,
and so
Max Muncy.
Okay, yeah, okay, Max Muncy's. I don't know their names. I don't keep up with it. Like, to me, Sammy Sosa and like Carlos Zambrano are still playing baseball.
Carlos Zambrano's actually playing again.
When Mark
he's
McGuire's
pitching,
not,
he's pitching in the minors again.
That's awesome.
He's like 45 and he's just throwing gas for he's coming as like a closer reliever. He's like throwing like straight 95 miles an hour for like 12 pitches, but that's all he's got.
Yeah, well, so that was like that's all you need sometimes. Like I know, mm-hmm. Like you probably could do fine if you did like 90 for 2 innings or something. Like, you know, there's a happy medium there, but like Bartolo Colon is still pitching. And he's literally been pitching my entire life.
Yeah.
No, there was another guy, Alfonseca, who played for like 100 years. Was he the guy with the extra finger, or was that Bartolo Colon?
No,
Alfonseca. Yeah. He probably just stopped like 2 years ago.
But so, just so you guys know, Max Muncy the other day pimped a home run off Madison Bumgarner. I don't know if you guys know, Madison Bumgarner is a total fucking crybaby for the Giants. So Max Muncy pimps a home run off him, watches it. You know, everyone's pissed off at Tim Anderson for the White Sox because he flips his bat every time.
Right.
And everyone's mad. So, and everyone's, oh, that's not the spirit of the game. You know what the spirit of the game is, ladies and gentlemen? Fucking winning.
Yeah.
And I'm so sick of us acting like if you're a winner, you have to hide the fact that you're excited about being a winner. Like, act like you've been there before. No, fuck off.
I don't know. There is like so a little bit of devil's advocate here. Like there is like this idea, and there's something to say. Like you do act like you've been there before. Like in certain,
but like the Americans women team, most of them are they're in their first.
Okay.
So Tim Anderson hasn't been. It's not like he's been good for long. Right. Max Muncy has, and so when Madison Bumgarner was like. He yelled at him, I guess, when he was running the base. He was like, you don't watch it, you just run.
Yeah, and he's like...
And Max Muncy told him, I think he said, if you don't want me to watch it, go pick it out of the fucking ocean.
Yeah, right.
And I love that. I love the, hey, fuck you. If you don't want me to pimp it, you don't want me to watch it, you don't want me to be excited about it, don't let it happen.
Yeah, but so...
Be
so
better.
That's not what I mean by, like, act like you've been there before. I'm totally fine with bat flips. I coach baseball. Yeah. Like, I'm totally fine with it. If I ever had, like... the old man strength to hit a home run in baseball. Now I'm at like slow pitch softball age. So if I could ever hit, like, yeah, I'm flipping a bat like that. That's cool.
Yeah, you crank one.
I'd probably hit myself in the face flipping a bat, like, during, you know, and then it would be, you know, all nil. But there is something to say, like act like you've been there before, and you're bringing up the women's soccer team hasn't been, like, you're taking it literally maybe, and it's not like they literally haven't been there before. But that's not what the saying means. Like, act like you've been there before, like, because it shows grace and humility. And I think that was made up, like, that phrase was made up by crybabies. And I think it was like, to try to make it better. So,
it's fucking losers
right.
who don't want to feel bad about the fact that they're losers. That's, like, the whole thing we've been talking about is this participation trophy age where we can't say, hey, seven-year-old, like, you... No, like, you need to be a winner to get a trophy. I fully agree with that. I wish my dad took my participation trophies away.
Yeah.
The only trophies, like, I have kept
that I've gotten older are first, second, third. Because they give out medals. You know, the first, second, okay, third, right?
I get that, yeah.
So any of those little bullshit, like, 6-inch trophies that has, like, the car, the little baseball player on top, that's not ornate.
It doesn't say first, second, or third, then it knows, like, that means you were there. Like, that's what that trophy says.
Right, like, literally every slapdick gets this. Like, the special kids who, like, came out, like, 3 times a week and, like, you know, that they let run the bases to... They get that same trophy, and I just don't agree with it.
We're
creating a loser mentality in our society.
But doesn't this pervade, like what you're saying, doesn't this pervade society? Like, it goes past sports, and we can mostly talk about it in sports because that's where we see it probably most starkly. But if we really think about it, I mean, it's like, you know, where it's like you don't want to body shame fat people. Isn't that kind of like a participation?
Oh, no, it's the same thing. We have as a society have basically said, it's okay if you're a loser or a winner. Like, you're fine no matter what you do. You're okay. It's fine. Like, you don't have to be at the top. And that's why businesses are talking about why it's so hard to hire millennials right now, because they have to kowtow to their mediocrity.
Yeah, you think, okay. But, like, so, doesn't it come down, like, when you let, like, a Down syndrome kid win the prom king or queen? You know, it's like, we do that, like, you know, it's great, it's wonderful, and we've done a great thing, but hasn't it always been a popularity contest or a good-looking contest?
Well, see, but I don't necessarily disagree with that, because that's, you know, a group of people coming together to say, hey, this person, that's a popularity contest, right? What I'm talking about is in competition, right? Competition is where it's important to recognize those who are better than the others. Because popularity, I guess popularity counts as the same thing. I'm just thinking physical, mental attributes, right? We had an 8-way tie the other day, or a couple weeks ago, in the National Spelling Bee. National Spelling Bee.
No, I know, I couldn't.
Like, 8 13-year-olds won, and they're like, oh, we ran out of words. Like,
can't you retread?
Hey, bitch, there's an entire dictionary full of words. You can just start picking at random. Well, just pull them out of a fucking hat.
It doesn't have to
be
a dictionary, because you use, like, French words and stuff.
On a spelling test, I was a freshman in high school, I saw a smorgasbord. I said, excuse me,
that's not a real word.
This is in English. Yeah. And they're like, it doesn't have to be English. And I was like, yo, bitch, this isn't Norwegian class. This is English. Like, fuck out of here. Like, have you lost your mind? But so, like, start pulling out some random shit. I don't know. But that's why the Asians and the Indians, well, I guess Indians are Asians, but that's why they're crushing us, because their parents beat them if they get Bs. White kids come home with a C+, and parents are like, oh, congratulations. Let's take you to Cold Stone or whatever hippie shit is around the corner with your vegan ice cream. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous to me, and that's why America's getting outworked by these other countries, is because we are telling kids and adults, it's okay to be mediocre. You don't have to be the best, because you'll still get a prize.
Right. Number one, gold prize, number one, used to be the best. And now it doesn't have to be. Now you don't have to be the top. You don't have to be the fastest, the strongest, you know, in physical competition, or the best looking, or the best in a beauty contest. Now it's like first place, like, we can give it to anyone. It seems like anyone, it doesn't have to be earned.
It's feel good story shit.
There's a lot of that. I think it's given to certain people because it's like, we do this competition every year. We can give it to the transgender.
I mean, look at that. The LSU track star, CC whatever. She was a man until 2 years ago, and she's broken every record. And everyone is like pining over her about, she didn't run the fastest time for a woman ever. She ran the fastest time for anyone ever. And it's like, because she's a guy. Like that commercial, right? What's that? Allstate commercial? Well, she's a guy, so yeah. Like, no, when she says,
State Farm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's like, no, we don't have to celebrate the fact that she beat a bunch of women, because she literally has the mechanics of a man. Her entire body is the mechanics of a man, and she takes whatever you want to call the human being, takes some estrogen pills and cuts off their balls, and all of a sudden we forget the fact that their body is naturally producing testosterone at 18, 19 years old at an alarming rate. Like, she probably punches holes in drywalls like dudes named Kyle, drinking Monster, just like wham, wham, wham. Every time her girlfriend overcooks the roast, she's just waylaying drywall, and we're like, oh, it must be because she's a competitor. No, it's because she's a dude.
Yeah. Well, see, I actually didn't know that was that she was a like
transgender.
She was a biological male. I didn't know that, yeah. But I should have known that because it's weird. Like I saw certain people sharing that story on social media, and I know what kind of people they are, so I could have like
could have picked up on it.
It's almost like
you like can, why do they all of a sudden care about track?
You don't have to read these stories anymore. You can see who posted it and say that's what angle that story is now. So like on social media, you can see you can look at your friends and you know their biases and you know. Like their beliefs, even if you don't know them personally, you know what kind of shit they're into, and whatever they're posting, you can be like, I pretty much know what that's about. So it's this girl running track, and I was like, why do we care about like women's track all of a sudden? And I'm like, okay, it is the year of the World Cup, so we're pretending to care about women's sports. So like, so that's really what I thought. And then you saying that she was a man, like it totally makes sense based on who she is.
Yeah, we all have to kowtow and be like, oh, she's a hero. Like, no, dude, she just got a Cheerios brand. She's not a hero. She's a money grubber. Whoa. Like, I like, cool. It's still impressive. It would have been impressive if she stayed a man with her biological male parts and, like, broke records. Because she's breaking records for men, too, but, like...
Oh, yeah.
Competing in men's sports. Everyone's like, oh, she beat the next woman behind her by 15 seconds. Like, and it's like, well, yeah, because look at Usain Bolt.
Yeah, well, who's that MMA fighter that beats the shit out of
dude, I
Fallon Fox?
Yes, Fallon Who Fox beats is the just All right, crushes so people.
Fallon Fox is a MMA fighter not in the UFC, I don't think.
It's not Bellator or UFC, it's
no, I don't like whatever. There's not Pride Fighting anymore or anything, right?
No.
I don't remember what they're called anymore. But there's so many of them because it's like why watch boxing when you can do that? And I'm sorry if you like boxing.
I mean, I'm a big fan of boxing, but we as a society actually also have to understand, boxing was created on kind of pussy-ass shit. Marcus Queensberry was a fucking fancy boy.
His name was Queens.
Right. Barry. Marcus Queensberry. So he invented the Marcus Queensberry rules so he wouldn't get his ass whooped in fights. Like... So boxing.
He thought people were going to do this in a street fight. Like if boxing catches on, then no one will come up and cold.
Right. So he made these rules so that he could challenge people to fights.
No.
So that he had an advantage because no one knew the fucking rules. Like
no, that. That's ridiculous.
So like boxing, for a while was the sport in America, right? But now we have like literal blood sport with UFC. So boxing fought in our favor, but certain fights recently have helped. Regain boxing popularity. But back to what you were saying about Fallon Fox.
Yeah, no, but I want to talk about the boxing for just a second because it can still be like, even though it's not, there's no reason, I don't know why people clamor to a boxing match unless it has a big draw, like it's Conor McGregor versus like Mayweather.
So for me, I was an amateur boxer in high school and early college, so like I obviously understand the draw to it, but
not anymore. Like no, there's no like it's cool. It's an art. It's beginning. It's like
so you gotta understand is people like go to boxing matches and they want to see the knockouts, which doesn't happen much in professional boxing anymore. It's more in the amateur level, right? You see, so that Ruiz guy who just knocked out that Anderson fella from England, and that was a huge deal because it was like he was the favorite. It was a three title fight,
right?
And this fat piece of shit. Just outdances him and rocks his world over and over again. And people are excited about boxing again all of a sudden. And they're like, and what's that other guy who's in a bunch of trouble because he's talking about wanting to kill his opponents?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't Mike Tyson. He used to tell, like Lennox Lewis, he's going to eat his children. And I remember watching like the Lennox Lewis and Mike Tyson fight and like being really interested. Like I like thinking this is the best thing ever. And it was a huge event. But like I appreciate boxing now as just like it was what led us to UFC. But now with UFC, like that they can kick, that they can jump, that they can like choke each other.
Literally out. Murder like, each other inside of
why would you watch like it's like now that there's like Spotify, why would you buy a CD? But you appreciate CDs.
But it's the same reason people buy records. Like, I have a record player in the room.
No.
Because I appreciate the sport for that it came from. It's the same reason people still appreciate baseball. Is baseball the fastest paced sport in the game?
Well, no.
But people enjoy the nostalgia of what it brought. Like, I watched baseball games with my grandfather, and that's what got me into it. So I got into boxing at a young age. It wasn't even popular back then. I mean, we're talking about 2010, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's like, before 2010, 2007. But it's like, you do things that remind you of a simpler time, I guess. And people, but what people want is they want the knockouts, right? So people see these boxing match headlines and say, well, this could be a knockout like UFC is.
Oh, really?
And it, but that's why people paid $100 a piece for the Mayweather-McGregor fight, because well,
I think it's because it was a crossover. It was like UFC.
We thought, everyone thought that there was a chance that we would see a UFC-style knockout in boxing. Because when Pacquiao-Mayweather came up, they were like, this is the biggest fight of the generation.
Right.
And everyone's disappointed. Right. I wasn't disappointed because I appreciate boxing and what it's all about.
I wanted Pacquiao to win. Like
I'm a big Floyd Mayweather fan.
Really? That's crazy.
Yeah, no, I love that illiterate son of a bitch.
I don't like illiterate celebrities. I don't want the people we look up to. I don't understand why people buy Fantasia's music. Like, she can't read.
I mean, Kyrie Irving's out there pushing the Flat Earth Society. So, a lot of celebrities out there are pushing dumb shit. Is it Jessica Biel who's telling people not to vaccinate their kids now?
No, okay.
Like, that's a super irresponsible thing to say to human beings.
I'm sorry. I thought about this. I'm evolving on the anti-vax.
Dude, stop it.
No, and it's not that I'm becoming anti-vax. But I think that people think that those people are crazy. And it's because, they are. But listen, hear me out. They're researching, even if their research is shitty and it's done, in the bathroom, on Google, where they're finding biased articles. Like, they're searching for some crazy... There's no WebMD person saying it. But it's like, they're researching and they're actually, learning real words and their mind is actually expanding. So it's like, they're actually smarter than the people who just grow up believing whatever the doctor tells them.
I mean, I appreciate the idea of learning.
Yeah.
I just don't appreciate the idea of saying, hey, this thing that we've proven scientifically, it doesn't exist. Like, I mean,
you got to understand that in their research, they've learned that the science community is lying to them and Big Pharma is lying to them to sell them more vaccines.
Which I don't disagree with. Like, I do believe Big Pharma is a problem, and that's why they sell jillions of dollars worth of OxyContin a year.
Right.
But also, polio was eradicated. We have literal deadly diseases that have been eradicated. And so, I understand some of their points. It's some of these big corporations, the government, they don't always tell the full truth.
Right.
And I agree with that, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate people expanding their mind, but I also don't appreciate these people just, saying, polio doesn't exist. Like, I know people who grew up with, were born with polio. Like, I know a guy, he was born with polio, and he survived it, and so it's we killed this disease once. Like, we don't need it back.
Well, we killed it in America. Like, polio still exists.
Fuck the rest of the world, though. No, I'm not worried about them.
But okay, I'm...
So, hey, winners win and losers lose. That's why I'm crybaby.
I'm not
shit.
Trying to be a crybaby about the rest of the world. I'm trying to make a point here is that the anti-vaxxers get written off as crazies and lunatics. But aren't they just as crazy, even less crazy, as the open border people who literally want people to come over here unvaccinated? Like, they're unvaccinated too, and we want, vaccinate your damn kids. They're 18 months. They need to get vaccination so that we don't bring...
But then let's let every child cross from Mexico who's never been vaccinated in their life. Yeah,
exactly, and they're a full
and open borders. Maybe if they go through a vaccination station, the U.S. Army, vaccine guns, just stabbing the shit out of these kids. But, no, you're right.
Isn't it possible that's how it's coming back, and these freaking anti-vax moms who live in America where it's already eradicated are taking the rap, they're scapegoats for this open border, that some of it...
No, I 100% agree. We have disease... That's also the problem, I think, right? So, it doesn't make every... So, vaccines don't make people totally immune. They just help prevent what the disease is already there.
Yeah.
But then these kids come over who are already infected with the disease down in Mexico, and they come across the border or whatever. That's why they're saying some of these diseases that we thought were gone here in America are coming back. Like, there was that issue when those 4,000 kids came across and they were staying on military stations.
Yeah.
Like in Fort Sill, Oklahoma and stuff. And then a bunch
in cages?
Come on. Get the fuck off it. They aren't all in cages.
Oh, they're camps. Okay, they're summer camps.
So, but then soldiers started getting sick with these diseases that we thought were eradicated.
Is that right?
And we're all like, oh, where's this coming from? Like, hey, we brought a bunch of unvaccinated kids, stray dogs,
that's
into
true.
The house. Like, we're shocked when it affects other people. And once again, we're talking to tie this back into the whole subject of the thing, there's the crybaby mentality. We all want to feel bad for the people of the world, or feel bad for these people. Oh, well, you know, if they don't want to vaccinate their kids, that's their right. Like that kid who was fighting his school system in the courts because he didn't want to get the chickenpox vaccine.
Yeah.
And then he shows up in court with chickenpox.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we just have to sit down, the American people, the human race, and say, hey, this is what's good for you at the end of the day. Like, you need to do it, or we can shoot you out of a cannon into the sun. Like, I don't agree with, like, so much, like, government intervention, as it were, like, I'm talking about at a ridiculous standpoint. But, like, there's got to be a level where we tell people, like, you're being a pussy, or you're being retarded, and we need to do something to help you from yourself.
Yeah, but like, don't you understand people's trepidation with that? That they don't, like,
of course, because it always overreaches.
Because you don't, right? No one ever, like, you don't know what's best for me in the long run. Like, this has happened, and like, we only fight it when we see it happening. Like, light bulbs are changing. Notice you're not gonna see, like, in a couple years. Like, there's still some like hangers on, but like, a lot of people, they're getting rid of like that incandescent circular light bulb because it's better for the environment and it saves on your utility bill and it saves, you know, all of this stuff. Like those swirly bulbs that take 4 seconds to turn on when you hit a light switch. Like, so they have already decided and started phasing out those light bulbs, and they've decided that that's better for you. What you're saying is that we need to tell people that vaccines are better for them. And they're right. Like, you're right. Vaccines are better for you. Well, there's a chance of autism or whatever their research has told them. I understand that. But it's like, vaccines, like, it's better to be vaccinated. I'm sorry, like, when one day when
I'd rather have autism than polio, to be honest with you, because polio will kill you.
I don't know. Autism will keep you from having friends and, you know, like...
There are plenty of autistic people friends.
That's true, and they're probably Canadian. comment below if you know someone who's very talented with autism. And I know everyone's on the spectrum now. Like, now the spectrum, they're just like...
Right, because it used to be autism and Asperger's, and right. Asperger's was autism-like. And now everyone's just on autism spectrum
right.
from 0 to 100. Right. And if you're at 100, you're rubbing your legs and you can't talk. If you're at 1, you're like...
Is it 100? Like, do you know?
If it's, I don't. No. That's not that. That's just a scale. I'm putting out.
Can you look
it
that up? Like, can
no,
look
so
that up?
No. That's what they won't put out. They won't put out a scale.
No, I really want to say that there's a number somewhere.
From what I understand, there's no scale anymore. They just say you're somewhere on the spectrum because it's
somewhere on the spectrum. Then that includes everyone. Like anyone who's weird. Like that.
Anyone who's awkward. Right.
Right.
And that's the thing is today we don't want people to just say, oh, hey, that person's a little fucking weird.
Yeah.
They, oh, no. They're on the spectrum. They have a medical disorder. You have to treat them better. You have to treat them different. And I'm not saying some people with autism struggle, and I'm not denying their struggle, and I'm not saying that some people with autism some people with autism rise to great occasion and
they're super good at math and stuff, and so maybe all Asians have autism.
Well, I mean, they are a little weird.
Socially awkward. I don't know.
I mean, that's probably just because their parents beat them when they get A minuses.
I thought that was someone. Oh, you did say Asians. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. I just, everyone's on the spectrum at some point. That's why they don't want to put a graded scale on it, because they don't want to classify anyone. Just like we don't want to, you know. That's why the LGBTQ whatever movement now includes 700,000 right. different classifications of people,
because we want more victims, dude. Like, that goes into like the crybaby.
The victim mentality of our society.
The more labels you put on yourself, the more victim. Like, I could marginalize myself, and that goes with anything. And I know that's unpopular.
So everyone's tracking, we're talking about a white male in his late 20s, has a job. Right. Like he's Irish. He's like slightly red hair.
I'm not Irish.
well, you know, he's got the red hair. If he was Irish, he would start complaining about the potato famine and how bad we treated the fucking Irish immigrants back in the 1800s. They were treated worse than slaves. Everybody in America wants to be a victim, because victimhood mentality has become so celebrated in this country. If you're a victim, you have more right to talk over than someone who wasn't a victim.
Well, okay, so the Irish weren't treated worse than the slaves, and I kind of hate that argument. honestly, like that, oh, the Irish people were slaves too. And not to say that they weren't, that they didn't come over as indentured servants and things like that. Mm-hmm. And that there wasn't slaves, there was Hebrew slaves and all of that stuff. Like that, that whole slavery argument was like, well, white people were slaves too. And that's just something that people who have done their research on the toilet as anti-vaxxers, like that, that they say. They read that somewhere, and it's not totally untrue, but it is different. They're not exactly the same.
But the point still stands about the victimhood mentality of our country.
Right, that we want to be victim, and that anyone can marginalize themselves if they add enough categories. Because, like, so this kind of goes along with the, and we could get into this forever, but, like, I know it's unpopular, but, like, the privilege argument. That you're privileged if you are this race, or if you are this sex, or if you make this much money. Now, you and I, growing up, we always use the word privilege as... oh, money. She's privileged, you're rich. Yeah, I'm underprivileged. That means a poor person. It had nothing to do with race. It had nothing to do with gender. It had nothing to do with college. And all of that can feed into it. But like so that definition has evolved. But I could marginalize myself if I wanted to and say, like, how I'm underrepresented in the NBA. There's no one who's 6 feet tall who looks like me, and I don't see... Because people will say, that's privilege now, is that I don't get to see people who look like me on TV. And I see no one who looks like me in the NBA. And that's fine. Because I don't want to see people who look like me in the NBA. That would be incredibly boring.
The NBA would become the WNBA where everyone's shooting layups.
No, it would be... They would might end in a 0-0 tie.
Good game, Chad, with your short shorts.
That's would be 13-0, and I'd be upset because you scored 13 baskets
and
on
you
me.
High-fived your teammates about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So
I mean, like we were saying about the crybaby mentality, everyone wants a reason to be recognized or to say, well, I don't have this, so no one else should.
Right.
To say, well, do you remember when the women's marches happened when Trump first got elected a couple years ago and everyone was wearing their pussy hats? And then all of a sudden, the LGBTQ community started bashing the women's marches.
Okay.
Because they were being cisgender normative.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, well, you're not included. Your signs don't include the transgender women with penises.
Right.
The women of the world with penises. So you're being...
chicks with dicks.
Yeah, you know, like, say. You're being... like, I don't know what the word is, but like...
Exclusive.
Like, yeah, you're excluding the women of the world penises. And it's like this who's who of I'm the most oppressed.
Right.
And the
they will eat each other on
identity
that
politics. And it's we continually as a human race try to find ways to separate ourselves. And I think some individuality is good, but then at a certain point it becomes toxic where we're saying, well, your march doesn't specifically enumerate the plight of the asexual, transgender, queer Asian man.
Right.
And so now I'm going to protest your protest, and these people eat each other alive because they're just trying to be the most victim. Who is the biggest victim? And it is a disgusting way to live life.
If you find yourself ever commenting on social media or introducing yourself in anything, and you start to say, as a cisgender or as a transgender Muslim man or as a
whatever downtrodden people.
Right, if you start by that, that's ridiculous. Because, like, on the other side, this, like, the people you think have privilege, I guarantee no one says, as a German,
Aryan man.
No, they don't. Like, people don't do that as a society elevator. Well, they don't have to. They're clearly, you know, German American or whatever it is. But, like, you've got to stop doing that.
But crybaby mentality. So, all right, look, so before I say this, I'm going to preface the fact that I am in the National Guard. I've deployed. So before you pull out your torches and pitchforks, veterans do the same fucking thing. It's disgusting.
They do. You're right.
They do. It's terrible. Well, as
so
a veteran...
So do teachers.
As a veteran, I think this. It's like, okay, look, we're in a society where you volunteer. Like, you don't get more of a vote because you volunteered. And that's an unpopular opinion today.
As a veteran.
Like, I got my leg blown off. Like, hey, we appreciate your service. Like, we do.
Here's a Purple Heart, bud.
But, like, it doesn't mean your vote matters more or your opinion matters more. And now that we've been at quote-unquote war for 17 years, like, I mean, I just got back from a deployment and 50% of my soldiers never left the country quite. And I don't know if you know what quite's like. I mean, it sucks. It's sandy and there's sandstorm. It's hot. But there's no danger. You know, we're not rolling out in MRAPs because of IEDs. So, like, these soldiers now have veteran status, and they're as a veteran, I think, like, look, you got paid a lot of money to be over there. Like, I just, we as a society are perpetuating the victim. Like, I have it hard, so my opinion matters more than the guy next to me or the guy who commented on a Facebook post before me, and it's a disgusting same thing, participation trophy, crybaby mindset, where look at me, I have it hard, so my opinion matters, and it's a wild fantasy where we prop up these people, and like you said, the teachers, the nurses, the veterans' wives, everyone's got to be a hero, because that means that when they cry, it sounds the loudest.
So, not only, like, there's two sides to what you're saying. Like, not only do people try to attribute certain characteristics to themselves and titles so that their opinion matters more, but they'll do it to you so that your opinion matters less. You, as a man, you can't say anything about abortions.
Right, yeah.
As a Christian, you can't say anything about this. Or as a female, you can't say anything about this. Like, it's weird. Like, as a cisgender, you can't have an opinion about this.
Right, right. Like I don't live in a free country, and so I mean, like, to me, the most prevalent one you're talking about is men can't say anything about abortions.
Right.
It's like, excuse me, like, we live in a democratic republic where I have a fucking vote.
We live in a constitutional republic. A
constitutional republic, I'm sorry. Where I have a vote. Like, yes, I do get to have a say in the matter, because, like, if we all of a sudden excluded every law, vote, whatever, to people who are... Okay, so when we're talking about military funding, only veterans and current military get to vote.
Right.
Cool. All right, abortions, only women get to vote. When we're talking about, I don't know, pick a law. Off the top of your head, pick a law.
Seatbelts. I mean,
seatbelts.
Only people with cars.
Yeah. Only people who own cars. Not even you know. You can't rent a car. Lease a car. Only if you're a car owner.
Right.
Can you vote on seatbelt laws?
Correct.
It's a wild type of identity politics where we just try to silence the people who don't agree with us.
Right.
And it's solely to keep up this idea that only our opinion matters, which comes from the same thing we've been talking about all day, which is this crybaby bullshit where I am important and no one else is. No one else's opinion matters because I'm a special human being, and that's why I'm different.
They're the loudest. It's all, like, we can go back and forth and say, like, America has changed. I think by and large we're not a crybaby nation.
No.
And we don't buy into the crybaby mentality. They just happen to be the loudest. So we do, like, they're a voting bloc, and they're also, like, consumers. They buy products. So, like notice every single clothing company, you know, has for this month has changed their icon to, like, some sort of pride thing. Like,
yep.
Like, so they do that, and it's just to not lose certain
people. Oh, yeah, no. I mean, like, Miller Lite, Bud Light,
right.
Every Macy's, Uber, when you order an Uber, it shows your route in rainbow now.
Does it? Okay.
And it's solely to kowtow to that voter base. And I, look, hey, I'm all about capitalism. If that's what you got to do to make money, I'm cool with it. But we as a society just have to stop and say, where does it end?
Right.
In my mind. Like, where do we stop saying that? Because at the end of the day, individualism, I think, is a garbage idea.
Individualism?
Oh, I think it's horrible. This individualism some individualism is great because it creates what different ideals, but when we tell every weird motherfucker in the world, you should be who you want to be, that's when we have motherfuckers out there suing because I'm part cat and I've gotten these plastic surgeries to be a kitten and cats don't have the same rights as me.
Yeah, I don't know, Sam.
That shit's really happening in the world.
But that's not individualism that's doing that. Listen, like, I think you have the... We're saying the same... No, it's a collectivist idea that the individual is not, like, is not part, is excluded from the collective, and that for the greater good, we have to accept them. Now, in an individualist society, America is the perfect meritocracy and the perfect, like, individualist society. Like, think of, like, the Tiananmen Square. Yep. If in, like... In China, that person stands there, and the tank tries to go around them, like in the Tiananmen Square. Like, the tank's like, we can't kill someone. In America, if, like, an individual wants to stand up, like the individual is so important. More important to the... And I'm probably saying this wrong. In a communist country, that person gets...
Squished. Run over, yeah.
Yeah, they disappear, and we never see them again. Yep. They're off to the gulags, and we don't see them again. But shout in America, it's like, oh, she's tying herself to the capital city, like the capital steps. She's like, which, you know, save the trees, save the skating rink. All this idea is like that individual's life and is so important. And we do that with dogs, and we do it with people, and we do it with everything. Where like the individual matters so much. So I do see like the individualism. Like maybe that's what you're saying. Like that's a problem that the individual matters so much. But the collectivist idea is that like what the state says.
So maybe it's the idea in society where we said being weird is okay.
Okay.
Where people start suing the government because cats don't have the same rights as people, and this person starts to identify as a cat and gets whiskers surgically implanted. Because we don't have enough problems in America. Sometimes, at the end of the day, that sort of boils down to is we don't have anything to worry about. Like we know where our food's coming from. Right. We're a completely instant gratification type society, right?
So you've been other places. They don't care that much. Like if I...
There are not arguments in Kuwait, Iraq, Syria, Qatar, Yemen. Those places don't have arguments on whether or not a man can use a woman's bathroom.
Okay,
it's
okay.
Not so. It's almost like maybe we have so much freedom and so much good going for us that we have like we think, oh shit, so bad because like men who identify as women every Tuesday and Friday of the week can't use the women's bathroom because there's a 4-year-old girl in there. Like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah,
because that's what normal society says, and we tell people that being an individual is okay so much. Like, you can do whatever you want. You're an individual. You're a special snowflake. Yeah. Whatever. I hate using the word snowflake because that's what all middle-aged men use to describe everyone in my generation.
And they're snowflakes often in my experience. You can't say anything about the flag. You can't say anything about the president. You can't say anything because they'll get mad. But they'll call you a snowflake if you're like, you know.
We as a society are just so sensitive.
That's snowflake too.
And, dude, but everybody's so sensitive. And I believe the sensitivity comes from the fact that we have so much instant gratification in our country.
Yeah.
That the internet pops up right away. We don't have to dial up anymore. You want a burger? You're 90-second maximum in the McDonald's line.
But listen, like, so, all that stuff hasn't always been. So, no, like, but still, that attitude was always there. When we had dial-up, I'm kind of parsing words.
I'm saying it gets worse.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just saying that the more instant society becomes, the worse we get in what we want and how we demand it.
I just think that it comes down to, I don't know if it's the more instant society, that's probably part of it, but I think that it gets worse the more people think they matter. You don't matter. You're like when people demand apologies because they're offended by a comedian.
Oh, it's wild.
Like, no, it's ridiculous because I've never demanded an apology in my life. I've never cared enough about something to be like, you gotta say sorry about that. Like, I've disagreed with things. I'll venture to say that a couple of things maybe not like truly offended me to like where the point where I lost sleep or I cried about it, but I've squinted at a couple of things that some people have said because it's so like contrary to my values. But I've never demanded an apology and I've never wanted one.
So
I don't matter enough to be like, you need to say sorry about
that. We're so self-important.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right.
Like, all right, so quick backstory. I'm Jewish. In high school, I was hate crimed. A group of guys, like, jumped me and started shouting, like, Jewish, stupid Jew, kike, this, that, and the other. Broke my face in 3 places, right? Needed multiple corrective surgery.
So you started boxing.
Yeah, so it's when I started boxing. But the courts, a part of his sentence, he had to apologize publicly.
You took him to court? You litigious Jew.
I didn't show up when he apologized to court because part of me was like, I don't want his fucking apology. I don't give a fuck about his apology. That's it. That's the problem. We as society think that being offended gives us some kind of moral high ground
over
the other person.
Correct.
And that is the most disgusting.
Absolutely.
Like, you know what happened? There's a British comedian, I think, who talks about it. And I wish I could remember his name off the top of my head. But like this idea, like, I'm offended. So the fuck what? What happens when you're offended? That's how you...
It's how you receive
information, and then you choose to react offended.
Right.
Like, you have multiple choices when you receive information on how you're going to react to it, and being offended doesn't affect anybody else around you but yourself.
Yeah. There's been plenty of things I've seen and heard, plenty of things that I wouldn't personally say or show, but it doesn't offend me, and especially to the point where I demand an apology. And now it's like a race to, it's like... And this crosses ideologies. People on the right and the left do this,
mm-hmm.
where they go after someone's job and they say, boycott their advertisers and boycott them and demand that they get fired over something they've said. And it's like, the free market, like, it works it out. If they're a radio host, if they're doing a podcast like we are and you don't like what they're saying, don't listen.
Right,
like,
just turn it off.
I can't imagine... Like, anything that we've said today, even if it is offensive, and I think we've been, like the least offensive we've ever been in a pub talk. Like, actual pub situation.
Yeah.
And I hope it gets more offensive, I really do. Like, in the future. So, but I can't imagine someone wanting to come for our jobs.
Well, so when you think about just today or yesterday, that Cal Kashov kid, he was one of, him and the other kid, I don't remember his name, but they were the two big guys in the Parkland shooting incident. Cal Kashov was one of the, I don't want to say victim, he watched his teachers and his friends get murdered, whatever, you know.
Yeah, but he's Jewish, so he should be used to that.
Is he?
Yeah, he's Jewish. Oh my Kashaw, goodness.
I don't know.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Oh, just because he got hired by Ben Shapiro, he's
no,
a Jew?
He's
oh.
Jewish, dude.
Well, whatever the case may
he's
be.
He's Jew.
So it comes out that, I guess when he was 15 or 16, a couple years ago, he had texted or emailed his friend something racist. And it came out, he came out with an apology, and like all, God, I really wish I could remember that other kid's name. Doesn't matter.
It was like, was he a kid on the other side?
The kid on the other side from the Parkland shooting who was arguing with him all the time.
Yeah, yeah. What is his
name? Well, whatever. It doesn't matter. But the people on the other side of the political aisle like started saying, oh, Harvard to rescind their offer for him to come to school there. He doesn't uphold Harvard values. And so Harvard did. And he appealed and lost. And it's like... So he said something when he's 15, 16 years old. He's now 18, 19. So this is now this has all come out after the shooting, but this all happened prior to the shooting. I don't know. It's one of those things where it says we can't grow as people ever,
well,
in my mind.
I don't know. Like part of me wants to say, like, at some point you can't be a shitbag racist and then expect not that stuff to not come out, like, later on. But also it's like, I don't know, like, when you apologize, that doesn't take away from the fact that you said what you did, but it's like, also, like, does he never get into school? Now, when he tries to get in, okay, he's done with Harvard. If he says, I'm done with Ivy Leagues, they're all pretty much the same as Harvard. I want to go to UCLA. Like, are they going to be like, now who's going to be the school that admits, like, a kid who was 16 years old and said something racist? Like, now who's going to do that?
Ole Miss.
Yeah, Ole Miss, Mississippi
with their histories.
Yeah, someone in the SEC might, yeah, but he's not going there. He's Jew.
No. Like, I just, what I don't, we as a society are all of a sudden, like, if you say anything at any point in your life that offends our delicate sensibilities, you can't be a part of us. We refuse to accept any other, and now am I advocating for the Nazis of the world to have a world voice? No. But this Kyle kid, he was a child. We're talking about 15, 16. At 15, 16,
okay. No,
were you a...
No.
Yes, you're responsible for your actions. But but are you aware of the ramifications of your actions to the point where you think, hey, my school's going to get shot up, and I'm going to become a national figure, he probably just said something stupid. Well, what he said was, I said something stupid to get a reaction.
Right. And that I've done that a
it's
lot.
Part of my comedy.
Life. That's what sucks, is because I fancy myself kind of like shock jock, like
shock value humor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead. Because that's
the funniest to me.
Take Tosh. Daniel Tosh. Literally, if you pull a soundbite from him and just completely out of context, you'd be like, that's a monster. That's the next Hitler.
Yeah, right.
Like,
he's not trying to get in Harvard. It's
you
his
know,
role,
right.
So he's
but
good.
But even there's other comedians who say things like, you know, like, oh, I realize that now, like, things aren't as funny in a courtroom. You know, I made a joke about murdering our neighbor.
Right.
And now it's subpoenaed to court.
Right.
And I'm going to be interviewed on this, and it's just
comedy is one thing that I think is just hands off. Like, if it's like, and anyone can kind of call that. Like, if it's anything goes, I'm sorry. Because
in my mind,
it's either all of it goes or none.
Yeah, exactly. Everything's funny or nothing's
right.
funny. You cannot censor
right.
free speech in comedy.
Right.
And it just you just gotta kind of understand what you're getting into. Right. Like, hey, I said this is a joke with my friends. You know. But that gets hard too, right? You know, the neo-Nazi says, hey, let's kill all the Jews. And we're like, whoa. And then Daniel Tosh says, hey, let's kill all the Jews. And we laugh.
Yeah, it's okay for him. And not
and
for-
so it's...
We can't decide, like, who's the arbiter of what who's serious and who's a comedian. Like,
which,
you know.
But that's the point, is no one can be an arbiter of free speech. We have to allow everything to be said.
Okay, so you're saying that now, but, like, just a minute ago, I don't know if you meant to say it, but you were like, and I don't mean that that any Nazi gets to say whatever they want. And, like, I think we can all agree, and no one listening, unless we have a Nazi listener, in which case, like, stop listening to our shit. Like, we don't like you.
Because they'll just ruin our shit.
Well, everyone, like
the
Nazis,
Ku Klux Klan
like,
shows up, and all of a sudden our fucking point is invalid.
Right.
But what I'm not saying, no, I am not saying that Nazis shouldn't be heard. Nazis should have a voice. We as a collective should just say, well, what they say just doesn't really matter. That's the fairness of a good society.
So that's a little different because like the Constitution, like I'm gonna go back to like our founding, like the most precious document.
Yeah.
Like the Constitution is the most beautiful thing ever written, and it allows like it. In fact, that's what the Constitution, that's what free speech is about. Is that horrible, terrible, awful speech with which we disagree. Like, the ability to say horrible, disgusting things. That's what free speech is about. It isn't just about, like, I get to say whatever I want so the government doesn't arrest me. Like, I get that. But free speech and this idea of free speech. And that's not, like, the idea of free speech and the First Amendment is different to me. And it should be. Because I make a distinction there when people foolishly say online, like, my First Amendment right was being, I have a First Amendment right to say whatever I want, and I shouldn't get fired from my job, or people shouldn't be arguing with me, or people shouldn't say you're a racist piece of shit. Like, if you're a racist piece of shit, people call you out for that. They're not violating your First Amendment. But if we have the First Amendment and the Constitution, but we also have, in Western societies at least, we have this idea of free speech that I should be able to express an opinion. That doesn't mean without recourse. That doesn't mean without getting punched in the face. That doesn't mean without getting fired from your job. That doesn't mean without like people arguing with you. Those don't violate your free speech. First Amendment says like I can't say whatever I want and I can say whatever I want, like criticize the government without fear of the police knocking in my door in the night and arresting me for doing this podcast. Like I can say whatever I want here without going to jail for it. That doesn't mean I can say whatever I want and people can't comment under this and say you're a piece of shit, you're a racist. Like, and even say you're a Nazi. Now, that wouldn't be true, and that's, like, something that somebody says to silence someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't, like, that's not free, like, my free speech has not been violating
French.
That.
It hasn't
but
been
this
French.
Idea of free speech is that I should be able to have differing opinions and have this individualist idea that is totally different and be okay.
Like, right. No, I mean, you're completely right. We as society, we sometimes say, like, oh, well, my free speech is being violated because this person says I'm not. No, that's the great thing about free speech is anyone can say what they want And but you also have to be aware of the consequences of what you say. If you're a business owner and you say, like, I hate N-words, like, people saying, like, hey, you're a piece of shit and no one should go to your store. Like, right. That's part Boycott. Of, that's Absolutely. All part of free speech.
Right.
We society think that everything protects us. No, it protects everybody equally all the time.
Yeah. That's because we're crybabies. Hey,
we're back to the
crybabies have the loudest voice. They cry the loudest. They're not the majority. But there's enough of them to where we want to appease the crybabies. We want to pacify the crybabies because when a baby's crying, you give them a pacifier. You'll do anything
to
shut them up. Right.
All right. Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, we're about out of time. So we hope you appreciate our first Pub Talks. We'd love to hear you comment.
Tell us what you want to talk about.
Tell us what you want us to talk about. Tell us what you thought on this episode. We are all on board with whatever you have to say, as long as you don't hate, Jews.
No, we're cool with that, too. That's fun.
Say whatever you like. We don't want to be crybabies here on the show. So, we hope you enjoyed Pub Talks, and we will see you again here shortly.
Keep tuning in.